In this week's episode of Zen Founder, we continue our series about founder goal setting, and we've invited Justin McGill on the show. You might know Justin from his podcast, Zero to Scale, where he and his co-host talk about bootstrapping productized services to 20K a month and beyond, or you might know him as the founder of LeadFuse, which is a cold email prospecting service. I wanted to have Justin on the show because he's a pretty seasoned founder, and I know that he is very goal-oriented, and I felt like his process would be perhaps close to the prototypical idea of what we have about goal setting and goal following. And just listening to his podcast for the past year or two, I've really heard him talk a lot about pushing forward, setting goals, achieving them, keeping himself accountable, and all that kind of stuff. And he dives into that process with Sherry on the show today. So let's get started.
We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life.
Zen founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other will both get value from the episode.
You're a busy guy. I mean, in the last year, you have... Did you launch LeadFuse this year, or this was a big year of growth for you?
Yeah, so I ended up launching it about a week before Christmas last year.
Okay. And,
well, I guess, what is that, 2014 now? But... really just started conversation. So I launched it in like 24 hours just to get it out there, and then had conversations, but everyone wanted to talk after New Year's. And so I had those conversations lined up and even had some sales discussions before. And then it really just started to snowball, I guess, right after the turn of the year. So I always say it basically January 1 last year is when the business started. So, and for tax purposes as well, it worked out, I guess. But yeah, so I guess from that standpoint, you know, it just kind of went on to validate some things and set some goals at the end. So it's definitely a good discussion for goals that I wanted to hit by the end of the year. And I had actually done that going into this business with another product that I had launched, and I set a goal in that particular case in 60 days, wanted to get to 1,000 MRR with the software product, and it didn't happen. And so I was like, all right, you know, I got about halfway there, but still had the discipline to say, okay, well, this isn't what I felt like success was. And so I wanted to look at basically just another option. And so that's when I decided, okay, let me take a look at some software I had built up over the years and decided to go off on that business. So
when you think about setting goals, do you do that periodically? Do you do that once a year? How do you have a sense of timing in your head about when it's time to look at a new goal?
Yeah. So I guess what I do is basically focus on one major goal that I want to hit by the end of that year. It's always business related. I probably should get a little better, I guess, on personal goals, but business related, I'll set a goal for the end of the year, and it's always revenue for me. And so from there, I then start to backtrack and say, okay, well, if my revenue goal is a 7-figure run rate for LeadFuse by the end of the year, what does that mean for the end of January? Probably can't see this behind me, but I have a calendar up on my wall behind me. And at the end of each month, I have what that revenue goal is. And so I write that down, and it's just something I look at. I communicate that to the rest of the team as well, because I feel like being just transparent about it and open with it, it just helps you, I guess, from an accountability standpoint. So I do it from that standpoint. But then it's not like that's the only goal I ever want to accomplish, right? So if we have another goal of, say, it's something that doesn't necessarily have a number to it, like launching a podcast, you know, like our business this year, we're launching a new podcast specific to our target market. And so same rule kind of applies, right? You have to take that, okay, I want to launch the podcast, but what does that mean, right? So means we've got to get it into iTunes, and to do that, we actually have to record. What does it mean to record? We need the software to do it. We need the equipment to do it, you know, and you just start to kind of, I guess, work your way back. I always start with the end of mind and then just work my way back, I guess, to, okay, what does that mean for tomorrow or this week?
You start with a big goal and then you work backwards. And if it's your end of the year revenue goal, you break it down month by month, it sounds like. And so each month there's a target number that you're looking to make. And then if it's a non-numerical goal, you also have this goal of starting a podcast. And so you break down the pieces and then set some like timelines for yourself about how to get there.
Yeah, because I think it's easy to put everything off and procrastinate until the very last day, right? So it's like, okay, we want to launch a podcast. Well, then it's like, all right, well, let's launch the podcast in 3 weeks. And then it's like, okay, well, I'll come back to that in 2.5 weeks and try to cram it all in. But if you break that up into smaller milestones, it's just easier for you to hit that targeted goal when you want to. So yeah, I always kind of try and break it up into smaller chunks. And then if it's something like our revenue goal, and say we work it all the way back to January, and then we're off target. I've been asked this, like, well, then what do you do? Do you change your goal? And it's like, no, I don't change the goal. You know, I just change maybe some things that we're doing to try and hit that goal. So if we're behind by the end of January, then we need to evaluate, okay, well, why are we behind? Do we maybe need to not build this feature into the software and instead maybe focus on some things that can help from just a virality standpoint, right? So in our case, it might be, let's make it easier to share and tweet about it. And let's maybe from a marketing standpoint, get some more case studies. So it'll just change some of the actions that we do and maybe push up our timeline on some of those things.
So having those smaller benchmarks, having the smaller steps on the way to the bigger goal allows you to make adjustments if it looks like you're not going to meet your target.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise you're waiting until December and you're like, oh man, we were 50. Yeah, exactly. So then it's too late because you don't have enough time to readjust. So
You mentioned in our pre-conversation that you recently had a goal, a 60-day goal, and you didn't make it. What do you think happened in that situation?
Yeah, so that actually led to me launching LeadViews. So I had a product called Workadoo that I basically did everything wrong. I mean, I spent about 10 or 11 months developing it, put in about 50, 60 grand, didn't talk to a single person throughout the entire process, did start a beta about 7 months before it launched, or at least a beta list, and did not communicate to the list at all, right? So every mistake you could possibly make with it, I made. And I was just basically taking a system we had built at my agency, and we used it to manage all of our campaigns. And I was like, okay, well, I think every marketing agency could probably use something like this. But again, I didn't do any research. I didn't talk to any potential customers. And so I launched to basically nothing, right? And I was doing some guest blogging and whatnot and got some revenue. But my goal was $1,000 MRR within 60 days. And we got to about $400 to $500 in that time frame. And so I had determined already in advance that if I got to $1,000, then I could justify spending more time on it. And that was success to me. And so I just call it a success goal, right? And so at that point, when it didn't hit that, you know, I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to go all in on this, right? So let me take a look at some other things that I have at my disposal. Over the years, I'd built different pieces of software at my agency and kind of decided there were a couple of pieces of software I could kind of patchwork together, one that found leads and one that contacted people, and then say, okay, let me kind of build a product I service around it. So that way I can launch it quicker. I don't need to go crazy and develop a whole new software platform. I can see what happens and then try to validate it from there. And then things go well, then I can branch off into a separate SaaS product. And, you know, luckily that's what happened with LeadViews.
So in great resilience style, you used your failure to sort of problem solve and figure out how to do it better on the next round.
Absolutely. I didn't want to do what I see other founders do. And that's spend a lot of time on an idea that they got married to. And in my case, even dump a lot of money into. But at the same time, you know, it's like, you only have so much time to do something, right? So I was talking with this entrepreneur who came to me actually to help him grow his business. And this was with LeadViews. And I was like, okay, well, let me learn a bit about the business and what it's doing. And it was like this Excel merging document. And so basically he would take different Excel documents and merge them into one. And that was his product I service. You know, I was like, wow, I'm like, okay. So who buys this? You know, he's like, well, like event organizers. I was like, okay. I'm like, what's the pain point there? And he's like, well, they got a bunch of spreadsheets. They have different information about, you know, different locations and whatnot. I was like, all right. I go, so I saw on the website, it was $39. I'm like, is this one time? Is it recurring? He said, it's a one-time $39 charge. So I'm like, wow, that's gonna require a lot of conversions. I'm like, so like, what is your current situation? I mean, how many customers do you have? How old's the business? You know? And he said, the business was started 4 months ago and he had one customer pay him $39. Right. So I'm like, man, what are you doing? Like, just stop, you know? Like, I mean, at what point do you kind of just say, you know what, maybe this isn't going to work.
Not going to work.
Yeah. So it was a tough spot for me to be in because I'm the one telling him this. And my wife was actually in the background and she heard me, and I got off the call and she's like, you can't tell people that, you know, but I'm like, no one else is going to tell them. I mean, you just can't keep chasing that rabbit hole, I guess.
And some people might say that that's some of the problem with goal setting as we kind of traditionally think about it. Like for some people, New Year's rolls around and people are like, oh, this is the year I'm going to quit my job, or this is the year that I'm going to launch this thing and it's going to get to $5,000 monthly revenue by the end of July or whatever. And those goals aren't necessarily like based on a lot of reality. Like in the case you just talked about, he had a great idea. He thought it made sense to him, but obviously what it means to actually make a viable business doesn't exist just in the sort of the dreams and fantasies in our own heads. So how do you figure out how to decipher between a goal that just sounds like a great idea and a goal that you can actually execute on, and it's like a realistic and feasible thing that you can tackle?
You know, I think some of it is experience. You know, I've definitely started up quite a few different businesses in my day at this point. So that gives me, I guess, a frame of reference. But I actually just read this article. I believe it was on Forbes. I'll have to send you the link. Maybe you can link it up in the show notes. But it talked about basically taking your end of year goal and moving that up to April 1st. And then saying, what does that change? Like, I know for LeadFuse, you know, I was like, I'd set a pretty aggressive goal. I wanted, again, you know, we're at about 30,000 MRR at this point. My goal to end the year was 25,000. So I hit that. And then I wanted to go to 100,000, really 83,000, right, to 100,000 by the end of this year. And then I was like, when I read this article, it made me think, well, what if that was my goal for April 1st, like what would we do different? And so immediately I started thinking, well, that would mean we'd probably need some enterprise deals to fall into our lap, right? So then you start thinking, okay, well, how can we make that happen? So if you take that goal and even just speed it up a little bit or get aggressive, like I could have just said, okay, we hit 30, so let's just get to 60, right? Like I wanted to get a little more aggressive with the goal, but I think just thinking about it from a different time frame can help, right? So if I wanted to speed it up, it's like, okay, well, what does that change? And I think a lot of people would say, oh, well, that's not possible because I need to build this feature and I need to do this. But really, you know, it just boils down to starting to talk to people and getting it out there. Like I mentioned, in my case, I hadn't really thought about when I was making the goal for this year, I wasn't really thinking about, okay, let's go heavy after enterprise. And it's not something I really want my salespeople doing at this point, but I do think it's something that I should probably start to look into and start having those conversations. So I guess from that standpoint, it'll kind of change your approach a little bit. You know, the goal is one thing. It's the end in mind, but then it's like, okay, now you have to break that down into action items. Again, it's like, okay, if it's one thing to say, okay, I want this revenue goal by the end of the year, what does that revenue look like at the end of January? But whatever that number is at the end of January means you still have to do something from a marketing or a sales standpoint to get to that number, right? So it's still basically the beginning of a task list, quite frankly.
And moving that timeline up in your head sounds like it forces the task list. A year sounds like a long time. It's obviously not a long time in the life of a business, but it sounds like a long time. And I think moving your timeline up to April 1 forces you to get much more concrete about what needs to take place in order for that goal to be accomplished. Do you talk with people about your goals? You mentioned sharing it with your team, but do you have other people who kind of help you problem solve goals or help you make them to be realistic timelines?
Yeah. So I'm the co-host of a podcast called Zero to Scale, where we're very transparent with everything that we're doing. We give a weekly update and we share revenue numbers and challenges that we're facing. So, you know, it's there publicly. But then in addition to that, I also am in two different mastermind groups. And so shared in there as well. And obviously my wife knows, right? And again, it's on my calendar. So when people come over, I mean, they see those things also. We spent time at a cabin for New Year's. And we all did New Year's resolutions, but that was one of my goals. And that was with friends that I don't really talk business with, you know, so that was kind of interesting, but I still wanted it out there. And again, I just feel like that's an important piece. It's one thing to have it in your head, but when it's out there for everyone else to see, I just feel like you're a little more accountable that way.
Yeah. You're leaning in a little harder.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you don't typically make personal goals. Do you make goals for your family or for other parts of your life besides your business?
I definitely should. I don't do that as well. That said, you know, my wife and I talked about just eating a lot healthier. We're past 30 and we've noticed that, well, at least I have, she's in great shape, but my metabolism probably is not the same. And so I've got an incline bench to do sit-ups. And that's definitely been a little bit of a game changer for me. But so want to eat healthy, want to start working out more regularly, but I'm not necessarily, that's not on my whiteboard or my calendar, right?
You haven't put those through the same rigorous benchmark process, right, of timelines and numbers and those kinds of things.
Exactly.
I mean, you mentioned that you have a goal to grow Lead Fuse to $100,000 by the end of the year. What else are your goals for 2016?
Yep. So my wife and I are actually looking at starting up an Amazon business that she's going to run. And so we want to get that launched. I have no idea what to expect there. I think the first goal is just to get it launched. And we're hoping to do that here in this first quarter. And then I put someone in place for Workadoo, because Rob's talked about this as well. It's like one of the toughest things to do is launch a software product that goes past acquiring your first few customers, but doesn't go anywhere after that, right? But you still have to service and support these customers. And so I brought in someone actually from my agency who's going to basically run that business. And so we put some goals there. We want to try and get that up to like 7,500 MRR. So nothing too major, but definitely beyond like the $500 a month that it's at. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I think that's probably it. I guess another one is I started a book called Self-Made Marketer that I got about 90% done by this point last year. And it's still 90% done. I have not touched it in over a year. I was just focused on Lead Fuse, but I've been getting emails from people. They, hey, your email drip said it was February 2015. Did you mean 2016? And
you know, it's like, nice.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, I think it's time for me to just get that out of my head and get done with it so I can.
You have a good cover, though. You can say, hey, that was a typo. Yeah, it's 2016. It's coming out.
Except for the people that have been on the list for, I guess, 15, 16 months at this point. But yeah, it's tough.
Okay. So write a book, launch an Amazon business, launch a podcast, yeah, a new podcast through Lead Fuse, and have a big bump in MRR in Lead Fuse.
Yeah, so I have the one big goal, right? I think all of the rest of those goals that I mapped out outside of Workadoo, which again, I'm not going to be very involved with. I'm just going to be kind of spearheading like the direction and saying, okay, you know, this is where we need to go and this is how we need to get there. And then it's on them to execute. But so I have the one big goal with Lead Fuse. And then the rest of those that I mentioned are all like quarter one, right? So I want to have those launch in the first quarter. And then, you know, I'll reevaluate and say, okay, all of these things happen. So what does that mean for quarter two? You know, I was just reading this blog. This guy had like 50 goals that he wants to accomplish, you know, next year. And it's just like, man, like, I feel like that's probably a little too much, you know, like just focus on one or two. But then, you know, there's still nothing wrong with saying, okay, well, what are some other things I can accomplish in the next quarter? And then just reevaluate, right? And say, okay, did this and this, and maybe didn't do this. What does that mean for quarter two?
Do you have a rhythm of reevaluation? Like, do you set on your calendar after quarter one, reassess goals? I mean, is there something that cues you to rethink about your progress?
Yeah, so I have a running task list and I dump everything into there. I don't use any brain power to think about what I need to do today. And if that, I use Asana, if that went down, I would have no idea what I need to get done for the day. But it saves me a lot of stress, I think, because I'm able to just dump it right into Asana anytime I think about needing to do a task. But every month I have a goal or a task just to reevaluate the goals, see where I'm at, just make adjustments as need be from there.
Okay. So you have something that cues you to rethink about this. And then do you spend a couple hours? Do you carve out time in your day? Or is it a quick, like, hey, here's my goal. Here's where we are. We need to make this adjustment.
Yeah, I think it depends on what that goal is. So like if it's a change or I'm reevaluating my main goal for the year, which again is that 7-figure run rate for Lead Fuse. If we're way behind where we need to be, then it's like that could take some time. because now I'm evaluating, okay, well, is this a marketing problem? Is it a product problem? And if it's a product problem or a hybrid, then, you know, what can we do different? What do we need to change around in our roadmap? From a marketing standpoint, are we doing the right things? Do we need to incorporate more outreach? Do we need to do different types of content? Do we, you know, and there's so many things to evaluate at that point. But if it's something like launch the podcast, right, that we're wanting to do from a marketing standpoint with LeadFuse, and that didn't happen, then it's like, okay, well, why didn't that happen? And that could be a 5-minute thing, right? It's like, oh, well, the microphone we bought broke, right? It's like, all right, well, we need to buy a new one, you know? So some are just going to be, I guess, you know, again, it just depends, I guess, on what that goal is, but hopefully that helps.
Yeah, I think just to like really break it down for people and help people have a sense of how to integrate goals and goal setting and goal keeping into their work life on a regular basis, if they're going to tackle goals in this way. And I think you're such a great example because you have an annual goal, you check in on it every month, and then you have shorter term goals, but you have some both built in accountability with your masterminds and your team and other people. And then this calendar accountability where you have something that cues you to think about this or to check in on your progress on a goal. It's sort of like textbook goal setting and follow through. It sounds like it works pretty well for you and that it's pretty essential to the way that you are running your business and managing to be as productive as you are.
Absolutely. I mean, I guess another aspect to that is really, I guess, beyond maybe what you want to accomplish this year and just more about maybe long-term goals, right? And so like for me, I think something that I've recently just discovered is, you know, I want to help other founders, other entrepreneurs find success. And so I've started to talk to people here locally in the Phoenix area about like, is it through some sort of an incubator that we start? I don't know. Is it through books? Is it through like a podcast? You know, how to go about that? I'm not necessarily sure yet, but I look at, you know, having continued success in business as a roadmap for that. And so pretty interesting. I have a sales coach, Damian Thompson, who shared his Trello board. He uses a Trello board and he has columns set up for basically what his life goals are, what his long-term goals are, and then what his 2016 goals are. And I think it's interesting when you hear someone talk about what their goals are, or not even necessarily what their goals are, but the importance of goal setting. But it's completely different when you understand, I think, what someone's goals are for 2016, what they are long-term, you know, in maybe 5 years, and then what they are like life purpose type goals. And you actually see what someone has, because it's that example that it's like, okay, maybe I need to think a little differently. You know, I know one for me that's important is like leaving a legacy. So I grew up with, I did not know who my father was. So for me, I have two kids and it's like, I want to be a big part of their life. And I want them to be able to look up and say, wow, like my dad did some pretty cool stuff, you know, and something that they can respect and just appreciate. And so that's like a big deal to me. And helping other entrepreneurs find success is another thing that I've just recently realized, like that's something I really want to accomplish, you know? So I look at my 2016 goals as just stepping stones to maybe long-term goals and then even like life purpose goals. So I think just breaking it up like that can certainly help also.
I think for me, at least, I think of those bigger values as a little bit different than goals. Like when I think about goal, I think of like something that I can break down and track kind of behaviorally or objectively, yes or no. I met my goal or I didn't meet my goal. Like it's sort of black or white. Whether you call them intentions or values, these sort of foundational things that guide how we want to live, I don't know. I feel like they're almost in a different category because you don't just check in and say, am I investing in my kids the way that I want to, yes or no? I think that's an ongoing value that you're building toward. And at least for me, I have these like larger values and all of my goals have to fit inside of them. Like they have to be consistent or they're not worth my time. You know, they're not something that I want to chase down.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I certainly agree with that. I think if my goal is to help leave a legacy for my kids and in particular and through business, if I never made more than $30,000 a year in business, it's like, oh, well, what kind of legacy is that, right? Sure, you know, they're, oh man, he worked hard, you know, but like, I guess I want the success to go along with it to show them that the hard work can pay off, right? So yeah, I guess it's not necessarily a goal, but I think the goals can help you accomplish it, I guess is where I was going with that. But yeah.
Yeah, it almost drives the goals, right?
Right,
right. It's the why of the goals.
Exactly, yep.
Well, cool. Anything else that you want to say about goals or advice you want to give? maybe to folks who are earlier on in the process or are thinking about how to start implementing a regular goal setting and a follow through process?
You know, I think like the SMART goals in particular, you know, I forget what they are, but it's like specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and then time bound, time sensitive. You know, I think those are spot on. But again, it's one thing to read a goal and then make a goal. But I think without working your way back to the beginning and saying, okay, how can I make sure I stay on that path? I think, you know, you're just going to open yourself up to missing those goals and being disappointed. So, and that's what I think a lot of people do with New Year's resolutions. Like, okay, I had heard somewhere like 60% of gyms get their yearly annual memberships in January because everyone's like, all right, yeah, I'm going to lose weight. Well, like, what does that mean? I mean, if that's your goal, then what's the weight you want to lose? How many pounds do you want to lose? And then if that's your total for the end of the year, then what does that look like in January, right? What does it look like in February? And then you could even say, okay, well, what does it look like this week and break it down even more. But I think working your way back and I guess just being aware of where you're at, are you on the path to exceeding that goal or to hitting that goal? Are you off? And if you're off, then, you know, you're going to have to make some adjustments and then you have to start to evaluate, okay, well, what do I need to change? I think the most important thing is just that time sensitiveness.
Yeah, and having a really clear picture of what it's going to take. The difference between a fantasy and a goal, something that you're actually working toward, not just an idea or something that lives in your head.
Right. Agree there.
Well, very cool. Thanks again for taking the time to chat with me.
Absolutely, Sherry. All right.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.